You're back with Active Voice Radio here today. Check out our website at activevoiceradio.com. We're going to get back to the Jersey Think Tank here today. A group of my friends there in South Jersey, Nicole Bellino, Michael Steiger, Rob Kennedy, and John McHenry joined me at Indray Studios in South Philadelphia to talk, to talk about 9/11, to talk about the war in Iraq, to talk about things to do when you're in beautiful New Jersey. Stay tuned for all that here with our Jersey Think Tank segments here on Active Voice Radio today. In this next segment, we're going to talk about the war in Iraq, and we're going to talk about payback. I had to ask that question of folks who live back there. Is there a sense in you that you want payback?
There's a sense in me. I kind of do, in a way, want payback. I am more on the hoorah. Let's go. Let's do our job. Let's keep us here safe and protected. I don't necessarily want to die. I don't want somebody coming in and doing this again on our turf. That's going to make me live in fear. Whereas my son growing up that way of, you have to check in, check out everything, and you don't have that sense of freedom. I mean, it's bad enough we have to worry about the stuff on our streets with guns and the drugs and the, you know, crazy stuff we have here as it is. But to have, like, the little bit of freedom we have taken away, to be empowering other people and becoming enslaved to fear, I don't want that.
Yeah, no.
So I would stand by.
I kind of have the hoorah attitude, too. But with me, I think the efforts that are going on now seem misdirected.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And so to be against the war isn't not necessarily to say that you don't have that hoorah attitude. It just seems that anybody who disagrees with you seems to think, you know, the people I've talked to, like, how could you not want payback for that? It's like, well, I do. And that's why I don't agree with the war in Iraq. That's why I keep asking people, where is Osama bin Laden?
Yeah, like George Bush said, I'm not really worried about him.
We're gonna go hunt down everyone responsible.
We all saw it on television.
And everybody wants, you know, everybody wants payback for that. But you want the right kind of payback. So when there's a hundred thousand Iraqi civilians who got killed because of our occupation, that kind of makes me think that it's sort of misdirected.
Yeah.
And it gets me even more frustrated because I do want payback.
Is it just that we need to be active, that we need to feel that we want to be proactive about the situation? Do you feel better that it's the military that's being proactive?
Isn't it also circumstantial, though? I mean, proactive about what? Proactive where? And like, you know, you're saying it's going in the wrong,
we're not fighting terrorists in the wrong direction. Now. We're fighting insurgents.
Right. And really, well, whose insurgents are they? Because I live here, and they're not running around here. And see, I'm a patriot. I'd like to believe that I am a true patriot. Never in my definition of living and experience has patriotism come into fighting somebody else's war in somebody else's country. You know, if somebody wants to bring a war to me, then bring it.
That's the way I was raised.
This is my country, and I'll defend it.
Yeah, I was raised, you don't hit somebody first.
Right.
Well, do you believe that that all of this in Afghanistan and Iraq brings the war away from the borders, keeps the terrorists away from the borders?
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
No, absolutely not. Anyone that says they feel safer now is lying.
They've
become completely clouded by what they're being told. No, we're not any safer.
We're raising our children to read and to write and to be kind to each other and to be nice, and We're going to go to karate for personal motivation to focus, and we have a wonderful array of different positive things we're trying to instill and teach in our children. When you start looking deeper within just the major headlines that flash in, you all of a sudden open up to a world of things that we're doing that are good and freedom that we are bringing over to a major, major amount of people over there. There are other people like the terrorists. They are raising their children instead of the way we are to become warriors, to come over here, that we're the bad people, that they are being raised to come over. They are being taught to come kill the Americans. So, in a lot of ways,
I don't think it's a hard lesson to teach when we're over there occupying their country.
That's why it is harder. Yeah. It's not going to ever stop or go away. However, I don't want like a whole complete Iraq, Iran, you know, 2, 3, 4 little countries all next to each other getting together and saying, all right, we're going to just all breed these children, raise them all, fund them with more money than any of us collectively could ever begin to imagine putting together. Everything about you makes me want to go all the way. Everything about you makes me want to go all the way. Everything about you.
The question is, I mean, this is all being done for the safety and security of America. But all of you have said that you don't feel safer. What would make you feel safer?
In here and now, I think it's just the reality of what we're facing. And the reality is to know the history and how many years that the tensions have been building.
Well, but we've done, look at, and we've made our own worst enemies, though, over and over
absolutely.
Again. We created the Shah in Iran, and then the Iranians had their own revolution. We had Noriega, we had so many people that we funded over the years, including Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden. Mm-hmm. We gave them both money and weapons. Mm-hmm. So how good is it that we're training the entire Iraqi army, that we're funding the entire Iraqi army with a plan at some point to leave? When mm-hmm. when will it be that we have trained and funded the next enemy for ourselves again? I mean,
it's already happened.
Yeah, we've done it so many times.
It's already happened. It's perpetuating itself.
Does any of it make you feel safer? None of it makes you feel safer. What again?
There's
though,
one
what?
Thing that would make me feel safer.
What's that?
And that's really for in this country, in any country, you know, basically on a very human level for people around the world to just stand up and you know, if you're not happy with something, you got to speak up about it. Now, this is America. This should be one of the easiest places in the world, if not the easiest place to stand up and say, this isn't right. Yet, I'm going to go back a little bit to what I said earlier. We tend to bitch about it and not do anything about it. You know, how long have we seen T-shirts to say, stop bitching and start a revolution? Stop bitching. Start a revolution. Revolutions happen for one reason. It's not because everybody's happy, you know, and it has nothing to do with other countries. And once we stand up and we say, I think we need, it's personal accountability. We as citizens of our own country need to stand up and...
You forget, though, that every great revolution was started by somebody bitching.
Like Cuba, they talk about the not the revolution that happened in the 1950s, but the ongoing revolution that goes on every day. Are we missing out on that here in America? Are we missing out on the idea of that the current American revolution?
Yeah, we're so totally complacent. We're so whitewashed. It's ridiculous.
Everybody's comfortable.
Well, but everybody's happy because they got their house and their car and their dog.
Yeah,
but that's the way it was. When women's suffrage happened, everybody was comfortable, everybody had their set standard, and we changed things. We gave women the vote. Woohoo. Then we have the civil rights movement. We went in an entirely new direction, a big new direction for this country.
So where do we go now?
I think it takes people who aren't comfortable with the established system making everyone else uncomfortable.
Exactly.
To the point where something finally gets done about it.
It's the root of all evil. Easy. It's the easy button. People, it's too hard to do anything good. It's what makes the payoff so rich. It's what makes it so rewarding, is that you put the hard work into it. And this is an easy button country. We love to hit the easy button. We don't want to do anything. We want to hit the easy button.
But hasn't being an active part of the society and having your voice heard, hasn't that become easier too? I mean, you've got the internet, you've got cell phones, you've got podcasting, sure. You've got all these ways of publishing what you think, web Absolutely. Blogs, things mm-hmm. like that. I mean, you have more access to make your opinion heard. And I see a lot of opinions out there, especially on the internet. But what's striking to me is that people will express their opinion much more freely if there's a sense of anonymity about it. They'll express right. that opinion much more freely if it's not attached to their name, if it's not attached to themselves or their job.
And again, it's personal accountability. Nobody wants to be accountable for themselves. They're too scared. What's wrong with making a little motion and letting everybody know that it's you making the motion? What are you scared of? People looking down on you, people disagreeing? Who cares, you know? But,
well,
you know,
it's hard to complain in a country like this where we use all the wealth that we do. And it seems like most of the things to complain about isn't that I don't have a fair shake, you know, because I'm a white guy from the suburbs.
You have all the, so, you're armed with all the privilege,
you know,
right?
So what I complain about is, you know, there are people in inner cities not getting a fair shake, and there's people in other countries not getting a fair shake.
Ask you all this, to just go round robin. Are you afraid of your government?
Oh.
Are you afraid of the U.S. government? Seriously, just
there,
quick answer. First
yeah,
thing that comes to your head.
Big
yes.
time, yes.
Mike?
I fear nothing.
Rup?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
John? Unequivocally.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like right now that the government takes a lot of faith? It takes a lot
yeah.
of personal faith
yeah.
on your part
oh,
to believe.
Yeah. It takes way more than faith. I mean, it takes like some faith and somebody to give me a little like blue pill or something to make me feel good along the way, because, you know, it's hard to have unwavering faith with the government.
I have faith in the individual. I can't have faith in the government as a whole.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I've always said I have total trust in people, but I have absolutely no faith in humanity.
Right.
Along with 9/11 and the Iraq War, the Jersey think tank, John McHenry, Rob Kennedy, Nicole Bellino, and Michael Steiger, had some interesting advice. I had to ask them about New Jersey, their home state, the place that they love. Had to ask them what all that was about, what travelers can do there, what you can expect if you go there. So here's those cuts about New Jerseyans on New Jersey. We have to ask, since we talked about the joys of New Mexico and the things that you guys missed, we have to ask our longtime, lifelong New Jersey resident, what keeps you here? What is so great about New Jersey? We're in Philly right now. That's how great Jersey is. So,
yeah.
what is it? What is it that is so good about New Jersey? Because I'm moving back to New Jersey.
Okay, well, first, Philly. When you come back, I'm getting you a book called Weird New Jersey.
Yeah.
And that basically, you know, does it. We have the Jersey Devil, which is just awesome in Halloween.
Uh-huh.
But we have the Delaware Water Gap, which is my favorite little hole in the world. And when I'm feeling like New Jersey is at times.
Sorry, couldn't let that one go.
Ha 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 ha! and when I do feel at times that New Jersey is the armpit of America, then I just happy we were on the PA side of the gap, and I'm happy over there. We have great adventure.
That's true.
And we do have the shore. Now, nobody ever nobody ever says we're going to the beach from South Jersey. We always say we're going to the shore. That's a South Jersey thing.
Jersey terminology here for New Mexicans who want to get back and fit in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Only she'd be saying
and the difference
going to the beach.
From North and South in the way in our dialects is there's one significance. In North Jersey, they say home. And in South Jersey, we say home. Up in like New Brunswick area, they like to make fun of us for that.
They got that weird New York, New Jersey twist thing. Like Governor Kane messed it up for everybody.